Good morning. I'm going to talk about optimizing nitrogen management on organic and biologically intensive farms. So to get the most production, organic farmers and all farmers are investing tremendous amount of effort into ground preparation, tillage, planting, transplanting, cultivation, irrigation. All of these practices take time and money and resources in order to produce a good crop. And so to really maximize or optimize yield from this effort, sufficient nitrogen fertility is required. And this, of course, in organic sources can be quite expensive. To come up with that optimum nutrient management or nitrogen management plan, there's several things that should be looked at. First is the plant nitrogen requirements. So we're basically going to try to solve through this equation how much fertilizer should we apply. So first we want to look at the plant nitrogen requirement and then subtract from that different credits that will reduce that amount of fertilizer. So how do we go about this? Well, for the nitrogen requirement, we can look at nutrient management guides. Most of these have not been written for organic producers. For example, this one from out of Oregon State says in there a total application of 150 to 200 pounds of nitrogen per acre is suggested. So they're assuming probably some nitrogen contribution from the organic matter, but it's a black box, really. There's other good, this is a publication for organic growers, and kind of grouping crops into low, medium, and high feeders. That's a great approach. Just to, you know, you shouldn't be kind of going out to your field and giving everything the same recipe. So this at least can help people get into different categories. And then Oregon State, the cover crop and organic fertilizer calculator is a great tool, and it's been expanded to work in some different environments like Idaho at this point. And they're looking at the contribution from amendments and other organic fertilizers because they're not all going to be available. All the nitrogen in that organic fertilizer is not going to be available. So this tool is really helpful at estimating how much will be available, or if you apply an amendment in that year, how much is going to be available. And then also if you've got a nice big vetch cover crop, you know, how much nitrogen are you actually going to get from that? So the organic fertilizer and cover crop calculators made great steps and given people a tool in that area. And so then the final piece is this nitrogen from organic matter. And this is a tricky piece to get our heads around. Some labs, soil testing labs, will provide the ENR, estimated nitrogen release number. There are some specialized predictive tests. And then there's also the approach of guess, observe, and test. And actually, I think this is a great approach, too, because the testing part at the end and the observing and getting to really know that site specific and how your site works. But looking at these estimated nitrogen release, they're usually just a straight multiplication of soil organic matter. This is a Nebraska grain recommendation, 20 times the percent soil organic matter minus one. From Brady and Weil, soil science textbook, you know, this is in there. You take the percent organic matter and you assume, you can figure out how much carbon is in there and then assume some mineralization rate. So, for example, using this equation, if you had 2.5% soil organic matter, you would come up with a contribution of 62.5 pounds of nitrogen per acre. So these are just assuming that you've got this organic matter number, so now you know how much nitrogen you're going to get. The problem with that is that organic matter is taking all of the different organic matter and putting it into one bucket, and we know that that's not how organic matter works in the soil. The kinetics, that mineralization of the organic matter, depends on how available and also the quality of the material in the soil. So this is an approach that looks at fractioning organic matter. So this is the entire soil here. And just through the top, you can do sort of a complete fractioning or a complete dispersal of all the aggregates and everything. And then you would end up with at least two fractions there, the mineral-associated organic matter that's kind of tightly bound to the surfaces of clay particles, and then this particulate organic matter, which may be more available. The mineral associated is going to be limited, so how much mineral associated organic matter you can build in your soil is going to be limited by that surface area that you have. And then another pool is aggregate, organic matter that's trapped in aggregates, and that's sort of stable until aggregates get broken apart through tillage and other activities. And then that aggregate organic matter is going to contain both palm, particular organic matter, and mineral associated. So this may be another approach. The guess, observe, and test tool, we really encourage this, and we get a lot of rain in the winter in the Pacific Northwest, so any nitrate that's left in that soil at the end, so if you do over-apply nitrogen, you're going to have nitrate left, it's going to be leached out, and so we encourage people to do their soil testing in the fall to really get this number and be able to evaluate how well they did. So you don't want to be in the low category necessarily, because then you're going to, you know, you'll notice that probably in your plants, but you certainly don't want to be in the excessive or very excessive, which we sometimes see. So we're doing a study over 2 years, 2016-2017. This is a SARE Professional Plus Producer Grant, so there's five farms involved, and in different three farms in Western Washington, it'd be the Maritime Pacific Northwest, and two farms in Central Washington. And what we did is we're trying to evaluate the soil, look at the soil for nitrogen mineralization potential, and then actually do a fertilizer experiment on that farm. And we chose broccoli in the high feeder category. So in the first year we did 0, 60, 120, 180, and 240 pounds of nitrogen per acre applied as a feather meal. And as you'll see, that was not enough. So in 2017, we did those same rates and then added two additional rates. And just for a little bit of context, when I interviewed the farmers in this study, they were applying like 30 to 40 pounds of nitrogen per acre. So we thought we were there with the 240. We did a randomized complete block design at each site with three replications. We did in-season nitrate testing. One other thing we're looking at is this quick nitrate test. So we did hundreds of lab nitrate tests, and then we did hundreds of quick nitrate tests, so I'll show the results of that as well. And this would be like a mid-season check-in, so we didn't do any side dressing, but this could be a future direction or study, would be the concept of coming in the middle and putting in more nitrate if needed. So some of the predictive tests we looked at are the Haney test, and this combines weak acid extracted mineral nitrogen with that Solvita CO2 burst, so 24-hour CO2 production. We did an aerobic incubation. This is in for 42-day aerobic incubation at 22 and 35 degrees C. And then we tested the soil at 7, 14, 21, and 42 days. And then we did an anaerobic incubation, which is sort of a classic nitrogen mineralization potential test. This is the Solvita, which is part of the Haney test. And the Haney test, they'll actually tell you this is your nitrogen potential that you're going to get. This is the soil in the bag test. Dan Sullivan at Oregon State has been instrumental in developing this test. And this is the aerobic incubation. So pretty simple, just testing nitrate and ammonia at different time periods. These are the sites. So there's five sites. I'm going to call them sites 1 through 5, and then the 16 means 2016, and 17 is 2017. We use the same farms at each year, but then they just moved to a different, you know, part of their farm for the study. So we had two in the semi-arid region in Central Washington, three in the Maritime Pacific Northwest, days to harvest. So we have mostly sandy soils. One soil was a silt loam. This, when you're doing on-farm research, you want to control things, but then you want to also let the farmer do things. So one of the farms is the smallest farm. They plant their broccoli pretty tight, and I didn't really control for that. But so all the other farms ended up with about the same spacing and everything, but this one farm, they plant in a special way. So we let them roll with that in 2016. And then in 2017, we controlled that a little bit more. It's on-farm research, so pests and disease. We lost two sites this year, and actually lost one site in 2016 as well. Just there were so many plants missing from the experiment, we could not really do a proper analysis of it. So we looked at some basic soil analysis too before the study. pH, so in Eastern Washington, we've got pretty basic soils. Western Washington, pretty acidic soils. Some of them have done a good job of liming over time. This would be nitrate, just... We did this preseason test about 6 weeks before broccoli would be planted. So you would go out 6 weeks before, get your test, and then hopefully be able to act on that information. Not really phosphorus limited. Some you can see a history of dairy manure application, so a lot of phosphorus in those sites, and more organic matter. We looked at organic matter, then we looked at total organic carbon, and we looked at palm. And I haven't gotten too far with this analysis yet, just basically last night scratching my head on this, but one thing I did see is, so this site had sort of, you know, middle range of organic carbon and then low in the percent of that carbon as palm, and then this site is sort of the middle range and maybe a little bit higher. So, but in general, the palm tended to follow the carbon, so high carbon, high palm. These are the predictive test results. So the Haney test, this is the Solvita number, and then this is the combining to say this is the amount of nitrogen we predict. This is 2016 data. And then the soil in the bag results are here, so a little bit of a range there. And then the 7-day anaerobic incubation. And we did the 3 reps at each site. 2017, the Haney tests are in, but I haven't got the data yet for the incubation and the aerobic and anaerobic incubation. Okay, this is the nitrate quick test, and it's pretty simple. Soil and water, deionized water mixed together. You need to filter it slightly to get a good reading, and it takes about, well, this takes maybe 5 minutes for water to sort of passively filter through there. And then just with a dropper onto the little strip, wait 1 minute, and then read the strip. And so this is an exciting thing that a farmer could do really, you know, on the back of a pickup truck, get a result pretty immediately. And pretty good results from that, so strong correlation. The quick end test overestimated a bit compared to the lab test, so this is a one-to-one line, which if we were getting exactly the same results from both tests, they would be lined up right away, or lined up exactly. So. Good predictive test, but a little bit consistently overestimating. Okay, so this is the market weight in 2016, and you can see that there's quite a different reaction to nitrogen. There were one site, what we're looking at here, what we're trying to do in a fertilizer study like this is fit, or one method is to fit a linear to plateau method, so there should be a plateau, and this is a linear to plateau, and this is a quadratic to plateau method. So two of the sites fit those models, two of the sites did not. They were strictly linear, which gave us the indication that we needed to look a little bit more deep or further out in terms of nitrogen application. But you can see what's going to be important here is that linear part of the, what is that response to nitrogen? And the larger that, the greater the slope, the more valuable more nitrogen would be in that case. And potentially that could be related to the nitrogen mineralization potential of the soil. In 2017, with the extra rates, we were able to fit plateau models to all of the sites that didn't die due to pest and disease. And then also at this point we're able to calculate that what is the value of nitrogen at that plateau, so 297, 457, and 210. So I figured we were probably pretty close to that plateau last year, but if you don't go beyond it, you can't really model it. So it turns out we were pretty good. Okay, so I took an attempt at sort of an economic analysis of this. What is the value of that organic matter in the soil, and I did this by adding, you know, the cost of the fertilizer. But the other interesting thing here, so this is the value of the organic matter. The other interesting thing is what is that potential sales from adding a lot of nitrogen, and I think this sort of gets us to think about the fertility versus the productivity. So why were some sites more productive than others? The plant spacing turned out to be very important, so the smaller farm that plants more tightly, they saw a huge response to nitrogen. And then the other things, it could be overwatering. So the nitrogen efficiency, like we're putting the nitrogen out there, but it may not be efficiently being used if it's being leached from watering, or just other production practices. Or maybe it's something in the soil that we're not looking at other than nitrogen, sort of limiting that productivity. So you're not going to get the same response everywhere, but there is value to that. Another important thing to look at, I think, is sort of the y-intercept, production at zero. So that, you know, that gets strictly to that soil contribution, and some of the soils have, and they all have pretty decent production at zero. Okay, so also importantly, what is left over? Here we see, this is 28 days, so with there's a fertilizer response, and I don't have this for 2017, but for 2016, you can see that fertilizer response for nitrate at 28 days. But, so we're getting pretty high nitrate at 28 days, you know, up to 150 pounds per acre at one site. But then by the post-harvest, we were well below, this would be that threshold that we would consider to be high nitrate when we're doing that test. So the nitrate was getting used by the broccoli or removed from the environment. So just to recap with these lines, I want to show here the this is what the farmers from these two sites would have typically applied. This is their typical application rate. So some benefit for sure from applying nitrogen. And just to recap, we saw a range of predictive tests, so 11 to 71 pounds suggested with the Haney, 2.7 to 8.3 pounds of nitrogen per day with the aerobic test, and 9 to 113 parts per million with the anaerobic incubation. In 2016, only two nitrogen plateau values were modeled, and in 2017, we modeled 210, 297, and 457 pounds of nitrogen as the sort of plateau rate. And looking at what of those predictive tests had the most made the most sense, it seems to be the aerobic incubation. Again, I don't have this for 2017 yet, but with the aerobic incubation, these two sites that had the lowest aerobic incubation had the highest rate of increase with nitrogen. And this test sort of fell out better than any of the others in that respect. And then the other piece of that, of course, is the plant spacing on this farm. So it had relatively sort of mid-range of incubation mineralization potential, but then tight spacing and a strong response to nitrogen. Again, this was a SARE Professional Plus Producer grant, and so thankful to them for that. And thanks to Oxbow Farm, Cloudview Farm, Kirsoff, and Plum Forest Farm for their contributions. Thank you. Yes. The question is, are the farmers talking about increasing their nitrogen contribution? And I, you know, my advice to them would be to look at this response. And it, you know, obviously, I don't think we're going to be recommending anybody apply 480 pounds of nitrogen. But a little goes a long way too. Just, you know, just to move a little bit. And I think, you know, we're not necessarily with this study trying to come out with the recommendation for broccoli. We're using broccoli as a model crop. We know it takes up a lot of nitrogen. We were kind of surprised at how much it took up. but it's more that concept of trying to get to those soil tests and the process potentially of coming to that right level. And I think the right level is going to depend. With broccoli, it really would depend on your market. Some people do sell it by the pound. Some people sell it by the piece. And that, you know, having a huge head may not necessarily be what the market is looking for, but I think the farmers were you know, excited about the research, excited to see that response, and they're sort of anxiously waiting to see what we come up with. But thank you. Thank you.